If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
We want to make sure the election is honest, and I'm not sure that it can be. I don't know that it can be with this whole situation. Unsolicited ballots. They're unsolicited, millions being sent to everybody, and we'll see. But if you remember, Hillary Clinton just a week ago or so told Joe Biden, do not accept the results of the election under any circumstances. But you don't ask her that question. You only ask me the question.
That's true. That's a good point. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents. It's Friday. We made it. Where am I at? Find me.
Find Dana at D Lash on Twitter and Instagram. Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube. Official Dana Lash on Facebook and simulcast via the First, channel 244 on Pluto TV.
There you go. Yay! I like that one a lot better. All right, so we have a number of things to discuss today, being that it is Friday. And I like that. I mean, I'm so tired of hearing, folks, by the way. Good to be with you. I'm tired of hearing, well, is there going to be a peaceful transfer of power? Are we going to have, is Trump going to peacefully transfer power? And I don't think that that's the right person to be asking this question of, especially with everything that we have learned in the, 48 hours? And when you've had Hillary Clinton telling Joe Biden, under no circumstances should you ever at all concede this race. Well, that's kind of okay. Then we need to have the conversation about them not actually going along with the peaceful transfer of power. I said this earlier today because there's a Newsweek has a thing. It says Trump was right about FBI scramble to assemble Russia evidence after 2016 win, texts claim.
Hillary Clinton in 2016.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I don't know what that was. Scare the crap out of me. True. Here's the thing that you need to realize about the whole crossfire hurricane thing. So in addition to working with someone who's legit classified as this, it's a Russian agent who's classified as an enemy of the state, they kept this investigation open and ongoing. And this was even after they initially received information that contradicted everything that they were alleging. But then they began leaking the allegations to the press. And then they would use, like how Fusion GPS did, they did the same thing. And then they would use the subsequent reporting based entirely on the stuff they were leaking. They would use those stories based on the information they leaked to further substantiate the investigation. That's what happened here. This isn't even an issue of whether or not you like or dislike Trump. This is an issue of, holy crap, my government's doing what? That's what this issue is. Do you want this guy? I mean, if you really think that someone's truly a tyrant, do you want them having this kind of capability with zero deterrent at all whatsoever? Because I don't. I don't care who you are. This is what's terrifying. The Federalist had this story's insane. All of these explosive new texts. And this all came in all of these federal court filings from the head of Michael Flynn's defense team, Sidney Powell. One of the agents said we all went and purchased professional liability insurance. And then that was the same day that CNN leaked details they somehow got about being briefed by Comey about the Steele dossier, which, let's just be honest about it, it's basically taking the bathroom wall scribblings of an enemy of the state, a foreign enemy of the state, and using it to get a wiretap on people. And that whole entire briefing, as Sean Davis notes, all of this was used as a pretext to legitimize the completely and thoroughly debunked allegations in this. This is just insane. And it was all funded. And look, this is not partisan politics. There is a money trail. We already know that because there were certain documents that had to be made public. The only thing that we don't know is, like, for instance, are all of the reporters that were actually on the payroll. We only know, like, the entities, some of the entities that were. Like, there was a dude at Yahoo, apparently, that was. No, so it was the Clinton campaign. And they used some DNC cash. And they, all of this with a foreign agent who's considered an enemy of the state. So this is our government. It's not Trump who needs to be asked whether or not we're going to have a peaceful transition of power. My gosh, it's the people who are doing this. They need to be questioned as to whether or not what they did to limit or to prevent a peaceful transfer of power. I mean, this is just, these texts are insane. I mean, we could sit here and, like, read them. I actually considered doing a dramatic reading, but then it made me too mad. Because the more I was, like, going over them, I'd just say the angrier I was getting. And then it was not going to be a dramatic reading. It was going to be, like, that Beth Midler thing she did. What was it? Hulu or something like that. And she acted like she was someone who was arrested because they assaulted someone in a red hat. And then she yelled at the camera for, like, an hour. Like, legit, it was her sitting at a table. And she was yelling at the camera for an hour. Good night. This is awful. Some of these documents that they discovered, and all of this was U.S. Attorney Jeff Jensen, and he, by order of Bill Barr, they had moved to dismiss these charges against Flynn because they were bogus. And so what Sean Davis at the Federalist noted is that documents that they unearthed during or throughout this review process showed that before the FBI was even tasked by the Obama White House in early 2017 with retargeting Flynn, the agency closed a previous investigation against him because there was zero proof of any criminal wrongdoing at all whatsoever. There was none. And the review also uncovered evidence that the FBI's interview of Flynn, which later led to these manufactured charges that he lied, had zero legal basis, which is what we've been saying all along, and that the FBI agents who interviewed Flynn didn't even believe that he lied, and they even said so. I mean, for crying out loud, that came out when Comey was testifying before Congress. He said, yeah, well, the agents actually didn't think that he lied. That's it. It's crazy. All of these reports that Flynn had lied to Vice President Mike Pence about the conversations that he had with the Russian ambassador Kislyak. And this was during the transition, except he actually didn't lie. And he didn't. There was at one point when basically comes down to he didn't recall. And they're like, oh, well, you're lying. They're just like deducing it. But hey, you can delete a bunch of classified information that you have on a private server and that you're texting back and forth on your own private phone, like Huma Abedin and Cheryl Mills, and the same people who interviewed Mike Flynn and decided to fabricate a charge are the same people who interviewed those two individuals, and they decided not to bring any charges at all whatsoever, except that there was a documented paper trail of actual felonies committed and no charges were brought. The end. So it's not the left that actually has to. Yeah, bleach bit. I just swiped it clean. Just swipe it. Swipe or no swiping. So this is, this is insane. And all of this, is all contrary, Davis notes, to claims by Mueller's office that Flynn had lied about discussing any at all financial sanctions against Russia during all of these transitionary phone calls. This was after the election when they had the transition team assembled and you immediately began laying inroads and making initial queries and salutations to other world leaders, their reps, etc. Every single president in the history of ever has always done this. Barack Obama did it, and Bush before him, and Clinton before him. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And then they found out that the FBI was hiding all these exculpatory documents from Flynn's defense team. all of this. Flynn didn't discuss anything financial when he was talking to Kislyak. And the FBI agents, as I said, they came right out and said, yeah, we actually, he didn't lie. He didn't lie. And the judge, Emmett Sullivan, who's a total partisan hack, he refused to dismiss it. Instead, he brought on this left-wing shadow prosecutor, Davis reported, whose partners, it's all lefty association, to smear him and continue, even though it was proven false. And they had more overwhelming evidence showing that he did nothing wrong, and they had nothing that he actually did anything wrong. And they actually even told the DOJ, stop producing and making public exculpatory evidence for Michael Flynn. They actually said that. This is insane. This isn't misbehavior. This is criminal persecution. And by the way, it's crazy that the same people who were doing all of this, Flynn, who is a highly respected, decorated Army combat veteran, was called a traitor by these pencil-pushing civilians who not only had never served, but knew that they were fabricating and even withholding exculpatory information, fabricating charges and withholding exculpatory evidence during this case. And they had the audacity to call him the traitor. You know, we have consequences for actual treason. We need to enforce those. I am zealously for that. I am a zealot in terms of forcing that law. Let's enforce it. Because this is insane. Without any deterrent, this is not going to be the last time or the least damage that's going to come from this. I mean, you already see the fallout from it. Oh my gosh, we have a million things to get into. The attack on Daniel Cameron continues. We're going to talk here coming up about how there's more than meets the eye to this. This is actually a future battle playing out now. They're getting digs in and laying groundwork for a future battle because Daniel Cameron, he's a rock star. He's also being groomed to replace Mitch McConnell in the Senate when McConnell retires. And Democrats know this. And he is a major threat. So they're trying to do everything that they can. The opportunity finally presented itself where they can attempt to take him out politically. And that's exactly what they're doing. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to get into, again, where is Hunter Biden? I don't even know. And the census cowboy, I have not read a story that has enraged me. Y'all, you know the census cowboy? The guy who took a horse that was ill-equipped to ride on pavement and literally rode it to the brink of death on camera. He led cops. He did it as a stunt for some social justice warrior stuff. The horse was beaten, bleeding profusely. The horse was in so much pain and so much distress that its eyes were dilated, and a vet said it looked like a cartoon character. It's, I think, likely if it hasn't been already, it's going to have to be euthanized. That was the census cowboy who did that. Senseless. Oh, man. I am made of nut. I need, I have been enraged over this. And again, this guy, throw this guy, lock him up for life, and throw the key in the fires of Mordor. Done. We're going to discuss that as well coming up. We got a million things to get into. It's Friday. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Caltech.
I feel like the goalposts are preparing to be moved again. So apparently the coronavirus mutation is evolving to bypass mask wearing and hand washing. We need the music bed here. Apparently it's evolving to bypass mask wearing and hand washing. This is coming from the New York Post. And I was reading this story. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, what? So the story for this is, scientists in a paper published yesterday identified a new strain of the virus, which accounted for 99.9% of cases during the second wave in the Houston, Texas area. This is the Washington Post. And the paper, which has, they haven't peer reviewed it yet, but they said the strain had a higher load of virus, suggesting that it's more contagious. And I have another headline actually in my next hour where I was discussing how they're trying to say that, or they're saying that maybe there is another strain that looks even more like it's more contagious than the current strain right now. So they said that there, it is possible, now this is not confirmed, it is possible that the virus could evolve to resist efforts like the hand washing and social distancing.
Nothing works.
I am a question mark. I am a little physical question mark that's made of other questions. I don't know. All right, so a Missouri town, this is kind of funny, this comes from the Hill. A Missouri town went footloose, banned dancing amid the coronavirus. They said that St. Louis City and St. Louis County, this is in St. Charles. So KTVI, which is a Fox affiliate there, they said the mayor of St. Charles blamed the ban on closures of bars and other restaurants, which had driven traffic to the area. And they said that they've banned dancing and other quote unquote music activities after 11 p.m. as part of the effort to enforce social distancing guidelines and slow the spread of the coronavirus. St. Charles police captain said between what City Hall has done with the team there and then all the bars down there working in cooperation, we think we've come up with a good plan, end quote. We literally had a movie about this. Right. It was Footloose, Kevin Bacon. It was like, that was like a huge movie when I was a kid. Everybody watched that. I just don't think. All right, New York City restaurants, they're trying to get ready to feed people outdoors basically for the winter because that's the only thing that they can do. I feel so bad for these folks up there. So they're doing the little heat things and the yurts. But how are they going to do that when they already operate on razor-thin margins anyway? That's not going to save New York restaurants. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Kel-Tec is a privately owned family company that has been making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms since 1995. They believe in respect for you and myself and our fellow citizens and the right to bear arms and in the love that we all have for our great country. All innovative Kel-Tec firearms are proudly and quality made right here in America. Every Kel-Tec employee, regardless of their role, is encouraged to innovate, to find better ways to make things efficiently with quality in mind. The Kel-Tec commitment to innovation and quality and George Kellgren's dedication to the quality of life for each employee truly sets them apart from any firearms manufacturer I've had the pleasure of knowing. The new affordable P17 pistol from Kel-Tec makes range days a lot less expensive and far more fun. It's lightweight, easy to handle, and features a fiber optic front sight and adjustable rear. Affordable at an MSRP of only $199, the P17 gives you a lot more bang for the buck. Check them out at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
This is the president's flat line.
So there's not been a scintilla of evidence pointing out anything's wrong.
There's not a single solitary scintilla of evidence anywhere.
There's not been one scintilla of evidence that my son ever interfered, that I ever asked me anything, that I ever got involved in anything.
I mean, come on. This is...
These guys are amazing.
So you think that everything that happened was kosher?
You know there's not one single bit of evidence, not one little tiny bit, to suggest anything done was wrong.
It's not a conflict of interest. There's been no indication of any conflict of interest from Ukraine or anywhere else. Period. I'm not gonna respond to that. Let's focus on the problem. Focus on this man, what he's doing, that no president has ever done. No president.
Scintilla. There's like, this goes on forever. Welcome back to the show. But there is, though. I mean, remember when, and welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. It's good to be with you this Friday. Woo! My birthday's Monday. I'm going to be 25 years old. That's right. I had to think of something there.
Happy birthday!
Yay! Yay. That's one thing when you're sidebar that's actually kind of funny. You can never actually lie about your age when you have a child when you're 21 years old. That's when I had my first child. And because you will, it gets inappropriate if you kind of, you know what I mean? Like you can't, then it
How
starts
are you
25
getting. 25 when your son's yeah, 19?
How is that possible? Doesn't make sense. She doesn't even go here. Scintilla. That's our word of the day. Scintilla. But there is a lot of evidence. I mean, remember all of the talk when everyone, well, first of all, people accused every Republican, I was accused of taking Russian money, which where is it if I had? Because I guarantee you that if all the accusations, just because I, you know, supported 2A rights, if I had taken Russian money and I was getting paid massive amounts of cash under the table, you would know, because I would be sitting here in a Joe Namath fur coat, fake fur. But I would be sitting here like Joe Namath style, although I don't mind ethically harvested real fur. I mean, it would be like that. I would look like that monkey in the fur coat that walked into the IKEA and then everyone said it looked like Joe Namath. I would be that. I would be sitting here like that. I would have rings on my hands like my Uncle Junior, who wears big gold nugget rings, like, you know, the 70s. We don't know his name, but he led the church choir and wore the leisure suits. Not leisure, it's leisure, ladies. Brown polyester. That's right. Snazzy. Doesn't wrinkle either. Travels well, Kane. You know, for the man of leisure. So, I'm just saying, you would know, right? I'd be pulling up in a sweet, like something ridiculous with a steer horns on the front. I'm not even joking.
1978 Cadillac.
Yeah, just think of me. Here's you would know because I would suddenly get super gaudy. My style is Little Goth on the Prairie meets Liberace. Yeah, wrap your mind around that. I don't know. I don't know where it comes from. It's ridiculous.
That's a clear mental picture.
It is. Little Goth on the Prairie meets Liberace.
Yeah,
you've seen my home.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of, you know.
I say that's fair.
You're like, am I in a goth castle hacienda? I don't understand what's happening here. It's just the way it is. I can't help it. And I am unashamed. I'm very Dagny Taggart. You're not going to see me with the all white Instagram stuff. Nope. The Lord made color for us to use it on everything. But I'm not going to be like the people that have, like some of these people where they have horribly designed spaces on HGTV. Where am I going with this? That's right. There's evidence. We know what Hunter Biden's done. And I'm just going to say, and we know the guy takes cash. What is he doing now? After he got with his brother's wife. Widow.
Ooh,
isn't
low.
He painting?
Low.
He's no, like for real, legit, Google it. He actually is like a painter now. That's what he's doing. Oh, I can hear y'all Googling. Oh, I can't wait for this.
Oh.
Yeah. I saw a photo of him. He did this interview where he was sitting. I don't know if it was like a converted garage or what it was, but he was sitting there in like a pair of like cords, barefooted with a paintbrush, like, this is my life. I paint. I'm a painter. And it is ridiculous. This is what he's doing now. He's like the failure to launch dude. He just kind of bobbed along and his dad and his brothers, you know, the waves. And then all of a sudden there, I don't know. And I, you know, I was trying to look at the stuff that he was painting and it looks like something the elementary school kids display on the walls at my kid's school, except their work is better. It does. I don't know what the hell he paints. Like, here's a bouquet I painted. Oh, so original, Hunter. So original. It's just, you know what I mean? It's weird. If you want to have a discussion about inherited wealth and class warfare and all of that stuff, let's look at this guy. I mean, this guy gets on the board of an energy company despite not knowing jack crap about energy. That's like me getting put on the NFL board, or I don't even know if they have one. I know nothing about football. Baseball town. Putting Hunter Biden, is he painting with his mouth in this photo that you put in Slack?
Yes, I did.
What is he even painting?
It's a straw.
Of course he is. Of course.
I'm not sure. That straw probably has other uses.
Guys, look at the, are you, wait a minute. I just realized his artwork. He spits on the canvas.
He does.
That's legit what he does. Would you like to get some of my painted spit? The only reason that he can do this is because he doesn't clearly have to worry about what anyone thinks of him. Thus, he doesn't have to worry about making a living.
Right.
He was given like almost $4 million by a Russian oligarch. Right, Mr. I got on an energy board and I don't know anything about energy? Again, it's like putting Dana on a board with the NFL. What do you think, Dana, about this, like, something that's a highly complicated technical football question? Steve isn't here to make fun of me today, so I'm just rolling with this because I know Kimmy won't mock me. Like, Steve would interrupt and be like, I can't anymore. It's painful. So, that's what he does. He's, like, spitting on the canvas. That's why he's drawing bouquets, Kane.
Yeah.
Bouquets. There's that Southern Missouri coming out. Bouquet. Pinky's out.
They're bouquets when they're from your bow.
That's how we say it in Southern Missouri. It's bouquet, and you're okay with the bouquet. There you go. Remember when we would do so like around Mother's Day and Valentine's Day and that, sidebar, Books always does stuff with us, and I kid you not, the voice in my head when I first saw it was Bokes. I can't. Anyway, he clearly has, I mean, anyone who, he doesn't have a worry in the world. Didn't he marry an Instagram influencer? Oh my gosh, let me get this right. So he's sitting there like replicating a Shel Silverstein picture. Remember, he was always barefooted on like where the sidewalk ends and all of that in the back, which I always thought was gross. I'm like, get your feet out of the shot. That's nasty. But he's sitting in his studio. He married an Instagram influencer. They sound like the HGTV couple that have a budget of $50 quadrillion. And it's like, oh, what is it that you do? Well, I craft a miniature dollhouse furniture. It's tinier than actual dollhouse furniture, so it's even more miniature. And my wife is an underwater basket weaver, and our budget is $50 million.
Wow.
Right? That's, he is that guy. He is that guy. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so right now I'm looking at this like, yeah, he totally took money. And didn't he also never attend an actual board meeting? Isn't that what they discovered in the investigation? So wait, he gets all these millions from not actually going and sitting on the board. How do we get that job? Well, you've got to be lucky genetically. That's how you get that job. Got to be born a Biden. Oh, man. How do you get that job? I really can't get off this subject because whenever I see him, ladies, let's talk for a minute. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like that kind of dude that you see out and you immediately do a once over and you're like, beta. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we can tell that you have to go back to the well that is mom and dad. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
People who are not you get that lack of self-sufficiency from some people. I get it from him. I really do believe that I'm a very good judge of character in this way. Just like I can tell which chicks are crazy by a picture. I can look at a photo and be like, chick is cray. Run. Run. They got them crazy eyes. So, yes, he totally. But they freaked out over a meeting that Donald Trump Jr. didn't actually have at the Trump building. Remember that whole story? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, where is Hunter, by the way? Oh, he's painting. So, a couple of other things. The attack on Daniel Cameron is way more than meets the eye. We've been playing some audio. We played some of it yesterday of these talking heads that are really critical of Daniel Cameron. A lot of them have been racially based, and not just from black commentators either. White commentators, too. And I just kind of... I mean, he's a Daniel Cameron. He's the attorney general there in Kentucky. And the more I was thinking about this, because he's a rock star, he has this easy ability to. He comes across very joyful, very genuine. Completely. He has. You're either born with it or you're not. You know what I mean? This ability to connect with people. And there are a few politicians who can do that. And I'm going to be fair in giving this assessment on the right and left. Bill Clinton was one of the people who could do that. I think Trump is one of the people who can do that as well. There are some people who cannot do that. I mean, I really like Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz cannot do that. You know what I mean? And Daniel Cameron can. He's just, he has that. And I think Joe Biden tries to do that, and it comes off as really creepy. You either have it or you don't. And so Cameron, he's going to be a rock star. And he's just getting started. So the word is that he's being groomed to replace Mitch McConnell in the Senate. Which I see that. He'll either be a powerhouse in the Senate. I think if he was ever to run for president, his path may be a little bit easier statistically, coming from the gubernatorial side of things more so than the Senate. But the word is that he's being groomed for McConnell's position when McConnell retires. And the way in which this is, he's going to be really, really scrutinized for how he handles this issue with Breonna Taylor, which we've been talking about. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this here too coming up, because I'm made of questions. But I think they're having the battle. They're laying the groundwork for the battle now that they're going to have with him, maybe in 2024 or beyond. That's what I think. Now, as for the Taylor thing, and I know we got to get going here, but here's a question that I have, and think about this as we go into break. So I wrote about it at the newsletter, and we talked about how it was originally a no-knock warrant that was changed to knock and announce. It was a search warrant for the premises, looking for money and drugs. Neither of the individuals involved had a drug background. She didn't have a criminal background at all. And I don't believe he did either. And like I said, I'm just looking for truth. Happy to, you know, if you've got evidence otherwise, feel free to share in a non-judgmental fashion. But I need you to realize that I'm looking at this from as a gun owner. Because I'm very concerned about the effects all this kind of stuff have on your right to self-defense. I look at the McCluskeys, I look at Rittenhouse. That's the kind of stuff that's in my mind when I'm looking at this. So I have a higher level of scrutiny. Yes, you don't shoot at cops, but did he hear them? Are you really beyond any doubt that he did? It's a legitimate question. And here's the other thing. In some cases, I think no-knock warrants in very rare, measured cases are appropriate. But this was about looking for evidence, and these two people were not main suspects in this investigation. So I don't understand, why couldn't there have been like a stakeout and then you just go in when they're gone, or you meet them as they're coming out and do it? Because if there weren't resources to do that, then how is there going to be resources to deal with the consequence of something going sideways when you're confronting them at 12:40 in the morning? So that's the question that I have on this. It concerns me. And I have a big piece coming up too that might, like I said, it's not a cut and dry. I'm very limited government. And I'm just going to lay this out there too. The government that can mandate what you put into your face can mandate what you put on your face. But only one of them gets the outrage. Just going to lay that out there for you. We got a lot more coming up, so you don't want to miss it as we get moving on, because it is Friday. It doesn't feel like a Friday. I feel like it's not Friday at all.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
I love Faith No More. So coming up, we got a lot of things to touch on. Here's one of the things that we were talking about as well on break, and we're going to get more into the Breonna Taylor thing as well. I just don't understand. There is a legal paradox that is created when you have Castle Doctrine. And then also, you know, you have something that happens in the middle of the night and, you know, you see people in your home, regardless of whether or not you hear. And yesterday I gave examples, numerous examples of, and that was just literally took me 2 seconds on Google. of people who are dressed up as and falsely present themselves as police. They impersonate police. They show up at your house and then it's a home invasion. Tons of stories like this. And in fact, the more I was looking at this more last night, I was like, I actually can't believe this is done as much as it is. That is absolutely terrifying. Which is underwriting the statement that I said yesterday. Even if someone says, oh yeah, it's the police, I'm not immediately going to believe you. So that's something that we all have to consider. But there's this legal paradox involving Castle Doctrine that comes in situations like this. And I think that with all the other unknowns aside, we have to work with what we do know and then include the stuff that is verified as it comes in. We're going to discuss that. We have a lot of other things to get into. It was an attempted coup. Also, they just made Elmer Fudd worse because they gave him a scythe. That's like way more. That's like sloppy. Stay with us. What makes Patriot Mobile different? Simply put, it's their exceptional customer satisfaction. People are attracted to Patriot Mobile because they listen to your needs and share the same values. Members stay with Patriot Mobile because, as America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, Patriot Mobile is humbled to have achieved the highest customer satisfaction amongst all wireless companies. And as always, Patriot Mobile continues to donate to organizations in which you believe. For example, this month they're donating to Faith Wins, an organization helping to mobilize churches nationwide to get out the vote. Patriot Mobile doesn't just say they support these important causes, they're walking the walk. All plans include unlimited talk and data with commitment-free plans to fit any budget. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for a free phone or free month of service, free activation, and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Make the switch today to Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile. Their plans, your freedom.
Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances because I think this is going to drag out and eventually I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch.
Gosh. I don't give an inch. Okay, so it looks like Trump's not the person that we need to have the conversation with regarding peaceful transfer of power. No. Not after Hillary Clinton said this, and not after the attempted coup involving her, DNC cash, an enemy of the state. I mean, we could sit here and go on and on, and the fact that even more information now comes out. I mean, the guy was a national security threat that worked with Christopher Steele, giving him this information that Hillary Clinton paid for. They presented it to a FISA court, hid the fact that it was operative stuff. And then they even got around the procedure for that, the standard operating procedure that goes with obtaining one of those. I mean, this is just, it's insane. Catherine Herridge reported last night the primary subsource was a possible, quote, national security threat and the subject of an FBI counterintelligence investigation. And they knew that. The whole Crossfire Hurricane team knew that. Holy cow. That was his source. His source. Threat to national security. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Good to be with you. It's Friday, and you can find me at all of these locations.
Find Dana at DLash on Twitter and Instagram. Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube. Official Dana Lash on Facebook. And simulcast via the First, channel 244 on Pluto TV.
There you go. So great. Yeah, this is unbelievable. Herridge had this with CBS. Yeah, the guy that worked with him to give him that information was literally called a threat to national security. And the Obama administration, quote, reportedly attempted to recruit two individuals connected to an influential foreign policy advisor to Obama, said if they got jobs in the administration and access to classified information, he could help them make, quote, a little money. And the FBI says that he previously had contact with the Russian embassy and intelligence officers. And oh, my heavens. He was at Brookings for a while, which is a Democrat think tank. But the FBI knew about all of this before the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. They knew that it was relying on it. They knew that they were relying on information, as Kim Strassel also reported, from a Russian spy. Is that not unbelievable? They literally knew that they were working with information from a Russian spy.
Where's the media?
But They were more interested in get Trump than anything else. That was above and beyond. It was all about get Trump. And in fact, that's literally what one official on the Mueller team had said. The Flynn prosecution had a get Trump attitude. FBI official William Barnett, he was leading the Bureau's original investigation into Flynn. And he said that there was no evidence there. This is a dead end. There's no evidence. But he said that the Mueller team had a, quote, get Trump attitude. This is unbelievable. So there we have it. Just crazy. This is should be terrifying to people regardless of your political affiliation. I mean, this... I mean, and we even have, back in 2018, Byron York wrote that had reported that right after, because he was covering the live testimony, and he was saying that, yeah, here you have Comey saying that FBI agents were telling us that there was nothing there with Flynn, and Barnett was one of them. There was nothing here. And then they kept it going. So they leaked the stuff this Russian spy was giving them to the press, and then took the leaked articles from the press to continue justifying their ongoing investigation. But yes, it's Trump somehow that has the problem with peaceful transfer of power. But it's him, though. That's what it really is. This is just this is terrifying. Because if you can do this to someone who is winning a presidential election, you can do this to anybody. And it makes me wonder, has this been done to people before and we just don't know? Have we? I mean, honestly, this is how you completely undermine faith in everything. Which is the point. All these new FBI texts from these new from this ongoing investigation all show it. The Crossfire Razor, that's the Flynn investigation. That's the other one. I mean, this was the last administration was the ringleader. That's it. We wipe out traces, tripwires to community and nothing. Or we put out traces, tripwires to the community and nothing. Bingo. So what's a national security letter going to do if no content? They had to fabricate something. They're literally, and also how stupid are some of these people to actually write about what you're doing to where it's discoverable? Right. You're the brain trust.
Did you even see the part where they're like, boy, if this ever gets FOIA'd, we're going to have some hard questions.
Yeah.
It's like, you're writing this down.
I mean, it's literally there in black and white, actual phone records. And all of this was known from the get-go. So where's the charge for sedition? Where's the charge for treason, for working actually with someone who is considered a national security threat? Where's that charge at? Jiminy Christmas. But yet, oh, it's Trump. We need to talk to Trump about whether or not he's going to be able to accept a peaceful transfer of power. Heaven on earth, people. So a few things here that I want to get into. Listen to this headline. Associated Press, support for racial injustice protests declines because they decided to conflate riots with protests. There's protests are one thing. Riots are something completely different, totally. But here's the interesting thing about this, though. And I was looking at, let me pull this up. I have this in my notes. I was looking at the crosstab data as much as I could for what they've made available for the survey. And they, because it's definitely, I would say, a push-pull. I mean, you're presenting false premises to individuals and asking them to react on that. That's not an accurate gauge of reality. That's just a gauge of narrative. So keep that in mind. However, the thing that I don't believe that they were expecting to come up is that all of the violence and everything else that everyone has seen, now it's tracking near 45% of Americans disapprove of the protests in response to police violence. That's interesting. I mean, the whole poll, I think the survey is kind of garbage. Because, again, the other questions that they ask, I mean, they basically say, so are you, do you believe all the deadly force that police are using against basically only black people? I mean, that's kind of like how they present their questions. It's not even statistically or intellectually honest. But it is interesting that that's the question that they got out. It makes me wonder, like, if you had presented questions in a realistic manner, what the numbers would have been, because this sentiment has not been accurately or honestly measured, because everyone's so, so many, you have to realize so many of the surveys that are out there, a lot of the polls are weighted either with bias in how questions are crafted or where even people are surveyed from, because I guarantee you, if you ask certain questions of people who say that live in California, who like maybe they live around Los Angeles, and then you go and ask somebody who lives in, you know, Tyler, Texas, what they think, you're going to get two different responses depending on the types of questions and topics you're asking. So there's different ways to interpret this. That's why so many of these things are garbage. But I do think, because I thought, when I was looking at this, the way that it was written about afterwards, I got the impression that they were not anticipating that. And that was kind of, let's not talk about this one so much. Let's maybe not. Very interesting stuff. Very interesting. So a lot of people, they don't support it. And I can see why, because it's just pure, I mean, it's violence and mayhem. Here's the thing. And I will say this, because I was watching Benjamin Crum, who's the attorney for everybody, apparently. His press conference that he had with the family, or like a little over an hour ago, he was telling everyone, go and get out and vote and get out and vote. And he was using it as a get out the vote thing. So here's the thing. There is no point to any protests or riots or anything if you are not actually going to, and I'm not going to say this as like a stupid red meat thing. I am so tired of hearing the phrase, find your voice and voices heard and shut up. It sounds like a Meghan Markle, whatever. I have that as a headline, which shit. I mean, it's kind of sad. Like when you've been a briefcase girl and you marry a spare and you don't come to attention except for stupid phrases. I mean, all of that. But, saying it's pointless to do anything if you're not going to actually look at the people who are writing the laws and writing enforcement of laws and then writing the regulations of determining how the enforcement of said laws will proceed. And you have to look at the mayor and the city council and the police chiefs for this. And when you look at a city like Louisville, you need to look at what is the ideological makeup of the individuals who are writing these laws and regulations? There are a lot of variables that play in here, but people give up after exploring the first two because it's tiresome, because it goes a lot deeper than a 30-second headline on cable news. It's sad. So unless you're going to vote, I mean, you could get out there and keep voting for the people who keep writing these laws like this. I mean, that's just, and I will say this, and I think I differ from, and we're going to talk about this more. I think I differ from a lot of folks out there. I haven't done a drug, and I'm only an occasional drinker. But I think that a government that can, that we have, our government regulates what you can put in your face hole, really. And they can also regulate now, as a result, I would say, what you put on your face. But there only seems to be a significant amount of outrage for one of these things. Article 1, Section 8, y'all. And is there a different way that this situation with the search warrant in Louisville could have been handled? I don't think it was murder. I don't. And I think that the charge for wanton endangerment was appropriate, because you know your target, and you know what's behind your target, and shooting into vertical blind covered windows is not that. However, could they have like done a stakeout? They were able to put up a poll camera. Could they have done a stakeout and then, you know, gone into and searched the place when they were gone, or met them outside and said during the day and said, hey, we have a search warrant. Could, instead of 12:40 in the morning, using busting in the front door.
You made a good point about the search warrant being for the premises. So why wouldn't you
wait
till
Well, all these people who are like, well, her name was on it. Yeah, her name was on it because it was her address.
Right.
I don't believe that the cops lied, and I don't believe that Walker lied.
Right.
You know, both of those things can coexist simultaneously. And I will say that they had a grand jury of people. Grand juries come from people in the community, y'all. You know, we got a lot of people out there pretending that they know more than the grand jury. But I will say this, you know, is there a way that this could have been done not in the middle of the night? Because her name was on the warrant because it was her address. She was not a suspect. They wanted to search her apartment. So that's how that works. Again, I always look at this from a Second Amendment perspective because Castle Doctrine in some of these instances is really creating a legal paradox. All right, so we got a lot more on the way. And coming up, we have the census cowboy who I think needs to be flogged. I'm not joking. Like, I think lock him up and throw away the key. Wait until you hear the story. I am enraged over the story. What makes Patriot Mobile different? Simply put, it's their exceptional customer satisfaction. People are attracted to Patriot Mobile because they listen to your needs and share the same values. Members stay with Patriot Mobile because, as America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, Patriot Mobile is humbled to have achieved the highest customer satisfaction amongst all wireless companies. And as always, Patriot Mobile continues to donate to organizations in which you believe. For example, this month they're donating to Faith Wins, an organization helping to mobilize churches nationwide to get out the vote. Patriot Mobile doesn't just say they support these important causes, they're walking the walk. All plans include unlimited talk and data with commitment-free plans to fit any budget. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for a free phone or free month of service, free activation, and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Make the switch today to Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile. Their plans, your freedom.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook. Follow Dana on.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So, this is actually good news. I just saw this headline really quickly from Florida. It looks like Ron DeSantis, he's lifting restrictions on restaurants and other businesses, moving to completely reopen the Florida economy. And the 7-day averages, they said that it's clear that there are other areas of the map seeing bigger virus surges right now. And so far, it looks as though, they're going to be okay and reopening and lifting those restrictions. So that's like very good indeed. Very good indeed. A father who shielded his three children from a criminal who was illegally possessing a firearm who opened a fire at a New York City car dealership and was shot in the leg. He's lost his two jobs because he can't walk due to his injuries, and I want to throttle his employers. Anthony Jefferson, 39, lost two jobs after being shot in the thigh. This man, if you've seen the video, he protected his children. Everybody else was running. The other men in the room were running away, and these three kids were terrified, and this father put his body over these kids and got shot in the leg. He was calm. He was very, you could tell that he was not like frantic when he was grabbing his kids. And he just covered them, and they need to give him his job back. He's got sustained injuries. He was shot right in the thigh. They have a GoFundMe set up for him as well. But that's not good indeed. Stay with us. We got a lot more, including the census cowboy who needs to go away in prison for life.
Catch the latest Dana podcasts, videos, and blog posts at the all-new DanaRadio.com.
President Trump is not a dictator, and the American people will not allow him to be one. This man has no honesty, honor, values, or faith in the American system. He doesn't deserve to be president, and hopefully he will learn his lesson.
You don't get to determine that. It's us, the voters. How are you doing? We're the voters, and we get to decide who, not you, and everyone. If there is anything that every American has the right to run for or do, is you can run for elected office, including president. Deserve? Yes. Good heavens. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. It's good to be with you. It's Friday, y'all. Friday. So we're going to talk about a story, and emotions are going to be high. And I'm going to get mad because I'm already mad. I saw this story last night, and I raged for about, oh, I don't know how long. Now, let me set it up. Let me set, there's two things I'm going to set up. I'm going to give you just a quick 60-second insight in my perspective, and then I'm going to set the story up. So we have a, for instance, we have a freezer, two freezers full of meat because we hunt, and we also bought our own steer to have it ethically butchered. And we believe in the ethical harvesting of animals from nature. And people who don't hunt, they don't realize that you have limitations. You cull the herd. Certain animals are tagged. And that you go, like, for instance, when my son went on his hunt, there was when he went on an axis deer hunt, and my husband got an auroch, and there was something, either one was too old to actually contribute and was fighting the other males for dominance. And then the deer that my son got, he had an issue too. He had an issue with his antlers, and it actually, because of the way they were intertwined, it actually made it to where it could be hard for him. Long story short, there are a lot of things that go into it. And I also believe in whole foods and organic and all that stuff. I do that. I eat super ridiculously healthy. So I skip whole foods and we go to the woods. But I love animals. And I believe in the ethical harvesting and I don't like lefty groups that, say one thing and do another, which is why I Delta Rescue is like the best organization that's out there. God love them. You hear me talk about them on the show a lot. This story made me so mad, I just couldn't see straight. And I don't know what it is. Like, I get enraged when I read about stories that have to do with, like, kids and even other adults where they are victims. And I get the same way when I read stories about, animals like this horse. And the thing that makes me mad about this is because this, I don't know where Lori Lightfoot is. She's the Chicago mayor. Remember when she hired the census cowboy? Remember him? The census cowboy, aka the dreadhead cowboy. So he was, and there's video, and I'm going to tell you now, if you are of a sensitive heart and you can't unsee certain things, so I'm going to caution you about looking for the videos. He rode his horse on highway pavement, galloping for miles. For this, like he said, it was something for the kids and something about kids' lives matter. And no one's talking about whatever issue he says that he was trying to raise awareness for. He whooped this horse, galloped it for ran this horse to a gallop for miles, and he rode this horse damn near to death. In fact, rode it on the highway. The Dan Ryan Expressway. He whipped this horse. He rode it. The horse was ill-equipped to even be on pavement. You can't just take a horse and run it on pavement. There's a reason why they are shooed the way that they are. And apparently his saddle didn't even properly fit. This guy's a pretend wannabe cowboy. He ain't even, miss me with us. Rode this horse near to death. And I say near to death because the veterinarians that had to treat the horse on site say that if that horse had not received medical care when they stopped, it would have died right there. Now, I don't know if they have done it yet, but they thought that the horse may have to be euthanized because he rode it and beat it so hard. The animal collapsed when they stopped. It collapsed. It is critically injured. Now, I don't like predators of women, children, and I don't like people who are animal abusers like this POS. And I am glad that Trump signed what this man did, signed it into law as a felony. Because he ought to be. Some of y'all may think differently from me, and I don't care. I would pay money to deliver justice on behalf of what's been done here. So he was taken to jail on felony animal abuse. And he's got all kinds of misdemeanor counts against him for trespass, reckless conduct. Yeah, Lori Lightfoot, the Chicago mayor's census cowboy, beat and rode his horse to death. It did not have the proper shoes for pavement. This horse, there's video of it at the end. It couldn't even walk. It was, according to law enforcement and veterans, the horse was, quote, bleeding profusely. Its eyes were dilated to where veterinarians said that, quote, it looked like a cartoon character. The horse was in such pain and such distress. He couldn't even walk. So this POS, the Dreadhead Cowboy, and he was streaming on Facebook acting like, you know, oh, he's so tough. He got put into Cook County on felony animal abuse. He's out on $25,000 bond. He said he would never harm any of his five horses. Why does he have five? And then he goes, yes, I do it again. I've been to jail. I'm not, take all of his horses. Yep. He says, I'm a horse and animal loving person. The hell you are, you moron. Ride this horse. Oh my gosh. Rides this horse to death on the highway. Don't even act like if you really loved your animals, you would take care of them. You wouldn't have, according to what veterinarians said, a poorly fitted saddle. This horse wasn't even proper. A friend of mine who is actually an equestrian says this horse was not properly tacked, went all down the list because she was reading the charging documents. Unbelievable. This man does not like horses. You wouldn't abuse it the way you did to the point of death. And the fact that you didn't even know this animal was suffering when you were beating it and riding it for miles down a highway. Now, I'm pretty hardcore on stuff. I'm pretty hardcore on punishment for stuff like this. I mean, let me just put it like this. I think the man should just throw him in jail for life. And that's me being generous. That is me going against my nature and being generous. And then what gets me, and Kane, you made a good point when we were talking off break. Oh, I'm going to get so mad on this. I'm trying so hard. He was defending himself. And you know what? Y'all want to know what this man said? You want to know what he said? Oh, God, put a hand over my mouth. He says, he was talking to local media, and I'm direct quoting him. Oh, Kane's about fit to be tied. He says, quote, the people that don't know anything about horses looking from the outside in, you would think that what I did was cruelty to animals. But if you go to the racetrack, it's 100 times worse. If you go to the circus, worse. It's worse than what I do to my horses, end quote. Kane, would you like to weigh in here?
Well, I mean, let's be real about the facts of the case. First of all, these racehorses are treated like royalty. They have hundreds of thousands of dollars
sidebar
invested.
I don't like horse racing.
No, I love it. Actually.
I mean, you can. I'm not throwing shade because I know that the horses are taken care of, but that's me. I told y'all I'm a little bit different than some of you.
I love the whole culture around it too, actually. But
I just like the hats. Can I just show up to an empty racetrack and wear a hat? I'm fine with that.
They're properly shoed. They're regularly groomed. They're taken care of like royalty. They run on dirt when they're racing, and they don't overwork these horses because they have an investment that's quite substantial. So it's nothing like racehorses.
Right.
And the circus is just a smaller version of that. Like literally, if the circus is making money and they're doing their work with horses, typically they're taking care of them like they should because they're in the money making
business.
Look,
I definitely have opinions that might differ from some, but you will never see me out there protesting with
now you're gonna find instances
but
at
on something like this where it's egregious.
You'll find it probably circuses that probably don't treat their horses well. But the common denominator is people that care about their animals don't do what this guy did.
That's right.
Bottom line. And that's it. You can point to circuses, you can point to racehorses, whatever. But anybody who cares about their horses treats them very well and treats them like family, not like this guy.
I had an email, and it was actually from a listener in Kentucky, and they were saying that they were they're into farming and that, but they said and we heard that and this was when I was tweeting about it, and I had said something about it last night, and they had said that I can't remember. I have to look up this email because I wasn't going to recount it. I didn't think I had time today, but they were saying that, like, for instance, some of the Derby, and again, I don't like it personally, but I understand that these horses, like for the Kentucky Derby, for instance, are taken way better care of than this.
Oh my gosh,
But he was saying that they had like a special like feed, and that one family that they worked with that had like a legacy of champion horses. Like apparently these things, they have family trees.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. They had like a framed embroidered family, and this horse had its own, its own on-call doctor, and you know, and you know, I get it. It's, you know, but
that's somebody who cares about their horse and their investment. That's how it works. Right. This guy obviously hasn't displayed any of that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And they were like, everybody, you know, everybody who's reading that story really would like to go and talk to this guy. Yeah. Talk to this guy. Oh my gosh. But it just, ooh, and that he's, and where's Lori Lightfoot? She empowered this dude. Where the hell is she at? Oh, and then you know what he said? Here's the last thing that you're really going to get you. Y'all ready for this? He goes, when we're talking about Lori Lightfoot, mayor of Chicago, when she called upon me, I was there for her. Monday was my stress signal. Lori, come help me. I can't do it alone.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to need some Enya almost. Oh. It's going to be that bad. Oh, my gosh. I would pay money to just go and handle some of this for Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Because now, and what Rachel said, if they put this horse down, how are they going to put it down? Are they going to shoot it? Because then you might, there's another fatality in right. Chicago. Jiminy. Oh, I can't even watch the video of it. I can't deal with it. And then one last thing, because I'm going to get so mad. Where's PETA at, by the way? Where are these people at? They've been going after, they go after horse-drawn carriages and some of these cities. They hadn't tweeted a single thing about this. And then I got, where is this at? It's the video people, what is it, News Now or something? They make these like stupid little 60-second videos. Oh, now this. They tweeted out, this cowboy rode a horse down a busy highway in support of Kids Lives Matter, a movement demanding greater investment in youth programs in Chicago. Oh, I lost it. I said, get it right. He rode the horse, and then we had to go straight to caps lock. Ill-equipped to be on pavement to the point of death, where it was bleeding profusely and may have to be euthanized, you abusive morons. Yeah, and no real cowboy would do this to their horse. That is another point that people are making on social. No real cowboy does this to their horse.
Nope.
I mean, what is it? Our sales, Jennifer, who's in sales,
right.
I think she likes horses more than people. I think her horses live in her home. Like physically in her house, under her roof. I have yet to see anything to convince me otherwise, so I'm assuming. And they go trail riding, and these horses are, she talks to them, and they're together all the time.
She's a horse lover.
I think she's part horse.
I bet you she hasn't
horse.
Even seen this story yet.
I am not going to send it to her.
This literally came out, what, last night?
Because so, she'll lose her mind.
Right.
She will go to Chicago.
I know.
So, like, we're talking about going. Like, she's will book a flight. So, all right, we got to get moving on. I know we're out of time, but I had to share this. I had to get it off my heart because I could not bear this burden alone, you know. As we get moving on, folks, because we got a lot in store still.
Don't sing if you want. Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, y'all. So a Florida man is suing McDonald's for an alleged injury caused by a chicken nugget.
What?
Alexei Stolfat says he is not interested in becoming famous, and he filed his lawsuit to protect other people. A man in Palm Beach, Florida, has filed a lawsuit against McDonald's after he broke his tooth on a bone while biting into a nugget. Sidebar, how is there a bone in a nugget?
Right.
Because it's basically like the meat cut off of a... They're just little tendies. That's what they are. They're little chicken tendies. Let's just be honest. So Alexei Stolfat is seeking a recall of McNuggets to, quote, avoid massive consumer injuries, end quote. And he's suing for $1.1 million. This is crazy. And it was filed in court this month. And it describes, like, he said that him and his wife were eating and he felt something hard on the right side of his mouth and it was unbearable jaw pain. And he pulled out a bone, he said, about 0.8 inches long out of his mouth. And then he said, you know, he had a toothache and a headache and all of this stuff. Let me just lay this out. If you're eating stuff with meat, if you're eating meat, there is a chance that there might be a bone in it because meat is grown on bones.
Yep.
That's it. That doesn't come from the meat plant. Like literally like a plant in the ground where you go and you pick meat. It's not how that works. He says he's from Estonia. He says, I just want to help other people to protect them and tell them to be careful with nugs. Look, right? We don't eat all of ours in one bite. We don't inhale them like a Hoover.
Right.
All right. Like you, and sometimes, like if I think that there might be like some crunched up bone in a tendy, I will nibble the tendy. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't shove it all in. Rachel's dying. I don't shove it all in my mouth. You know, like, ah, like this guy apparently does. We have a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere.
What if we hadn't done this? And for anyone that thinks McConnell wouldn't do what he's doing right now anyway, we got the London Bridges here not far from Las Vegas. We'll sell it to you again.
You think he was going to do it anyway, even if you hadn't changed the 60-vote rule?
Of course. But keep in mind what we got done by changing the rule. Obama's presidency is something that will be written about for decades to come as a result of the good things he was able to do, and we did it as a result of my changing the rules.
Harry Reid, who is trying to say that it's somehow different to change the rules for the threshold of voting for nominees, that somehow it's different now than when he did it, because it's not the McConnell rule, it's the it was the Biden rule, and it wasn't McConnell's choice to use the nuclear option. It was Harry Reid's. Welcome back to the show. It's Friday. I'm Dana Lash. It's good to be with you. You can find me at these locations.
Find Dana at D Lash on Twitter and Instagram. Dana Lash on Parler and YouTube. Official Dana Lash on Facebook and simulcast via the First, channel 244 on Pluto TV.
Yay! All there. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter as well. Now, tomorrow, I think it's 5 Eastern, 4 Central, the president is going to be announcing his Supreme Court nominee. And I think most people expect it to be Amy Coney Barrett. I would actually be kind of surprised if it wasn't. And we went over earlier this week the difference between, you know, the two main front runners, Barbara Lagoa, who I also like, but I do think that the right needs to not play identity politics and keep in mind that this is something we've got to look at the long game here. And you can't look at immediate election, immediate satisfaction. You have to look at the long game and who's going to be the best fit for this point. And I think that Barrett, who clerked for Scalia and is considered his and described by many as his ideological heir, is the choice for that. So that's going to be tomorrow. And then there will be raging. And we will talk about all of that on my birthday on Monday. So we're going to talk about, we'll get into all of that stuff. Lots to discuss. Now, I wanted to bring up this piece that's from MarketWatch. I have a couple of headlines about Corona stuff that I wanted to relay to you. So this is an editorial that is over at MarketWatch. And it reads, well, the teaser for it anyway, for social, reads, we may need climate lockdowns to halt climate change. Mariana Mazzucato writes that it may mean governments limiting private vehicle use, banning consumption of red meat. We must do capitalism differently to avoid that. So I'm thinking, I'm reading this and I'm like, sounds like they want permanent lockdowns. It also sounds like another goalpost is about to move here also. And I'm looking at this one headline that is from CNN. Let me pull this up. The headline reads, Fauci cautions that a coronavirus vaccine won't eliminate the need for masks and public health measures. Okay. He's just saying, you know, it's not going to replace the need to have a vaccine of this other stuff. And that comes in with one of the headlines that I had previously, just a little earlier in the show, where there's some research, the New York Post wrote about this, that the coronavirus, there's a coronavirus, they say a coronavirus mutation may be evolving to bypass mask wearing and hand washing. And experts say it could be a response by the virus to defeat masks and other social distancing efforts. They say that there's a strain that could be even more contagious, according to a new study. The Washington Post first had this piece, and they detailed this paper that scientists published Wednesday of this week, where they are looking at a new strain of the virus. And they say it accounted for 99.9% of the cases in the second wave in the Houston area. You mean, you know, right after they had a bunch of protests and stuff, right? So they say, though the strain isn't deadlier, don't say more deadly. Just say it's not deadlier. There's a reason why we have, like, learn how to conjugate a damn verb. A different words. They say that researchers say it appears to have adapted better to spread amongst humans. David Morenz, a virologist at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, says the findings suggest that the virus may become more contagious and that this may have implications, he says in a direct quote, for our ability to control it. He said it's possible that the virus has evolved to resist efforts like hand washing and social distancing. He added that, quote, wearing masks and washing our hands, all those things are barriers to transmissibility or contagion. But as the virus becomes more contagious, it statistically is better at getting around those barriers, he told the paper. So lay this headline out like some cards. We have the headline of the study that says it's becoming more contagious and it's learning how to get around masks and hand washing. I'm just, you know. And then the other headline, wherein they discuss how maybe, it's a Market Watch piece, just, you know, just maybe we should do more lockdowns. Let's have maybe a permanent lockdown, right? I mean, and then you have Fauci saying, well, you know, the vaccine's not going to eliminate the need for masks and public health measures. Now, Keynes made the point. What's your point you're making here? I'll let you do that.
They're eliminating all the mitigation that we've been learning since February, you know, wearing masks, washing hands, keeping your distance, and staying home, right? So what did they eliminate out of that with these stories? They've eliminated now, you know, everything but staying home. So now it's like, what, this virus now can get around hand washing? It can get around masks? What is it, turbo jets on these things? Like, what do they mean?
It holds its breath.
Right. Like, so now
so
nothing,
can't get me.
Nothing will work. According to this new narrative, it looks like they're setting up, like you brought up, is that all the mitigation efforts we've been making are in, you know, they're in vain, null and void. The only thing that will work is lockdown.
Everyone should just stay home and no one should work. And then no one will make any money. And then the government can just give everybody money. But where are they going to get that money from if no one's making money to pay into the government for the government to have money to give people? Dun, dun, dun. There you go. And that's how it works. Yeah, I'm not into that. Nope. I'm not into it. Now, this plus, we were talking about the people who were outside. I don't know why the people who were singing hymns in the parking lot were arrested. They weren't even bad singers, right? I mean, if it was like a bad Hillsong thing, I would have been like, okay. I'm slightly kidding. But I mean, you know, the Hillsong people are endorsing Marxism. So, okay, let's experience some Marxism, right? I'm just saying. But, which is, I mean, it's silly. I don't believe that the state can determine how many people can gather in one place or not. Right? These are risks that you, it's a positive action. It's a risk that you are accepting by physically and willfully engaging in an action where you know that there is going to be a certain level of risk. Okay, you're just assuming that. Why does the government need to come in? Like this lady who, this makes me mad. When I first saw this, the way that it was, and I'm going to tell you, the way that it was presented was that she was like a Karen. Didn't you get that idea? Yeah. The way that it was presented originally when they were first reporting it was like she was some giant Karen. So her name's Alicia Kitts. And she drove an hour and a half from Marietta to Logan, Ohio to watch her son's football game, right? She's a football mom. She's watching the football game. And in the first quarter, She was approached by an officer. Now, she's sitting in the bleachers. Literally, no one is sitting near her. It is relatively empty. She's outside. No one except her kids are sitting by her. No one is in front of her. No one is to the side of her. No one's behind her. No one's to the other side of her. No one's above her. No one's below her. She is there in this section of empty bleachers by herself. The closest people are more than 6 feet away. And so, in the first quarter, she's approached by this officer from the Logan Police Department because she wasn't wearing a mask. And again, they're outside. And I do think that the little X's on the bleachers telling you where to sit is so stupid. Honestly, humans are so dumb. Let's put stickers on arrows in the floors and X's on bleachers to tell people where they need to stand. How in the world are we as a planet continuing to exist when you have to do this, when you feel like you have to do this stuff? So the officer comes over, and the woman who shot the video, Tiffany Kennedy, Kitts had not been warned for not wearing a mask before the officer approached her. Now, Kitts said that she has asthma, and so she does not wear a mask because she has asthma. And the officers, who are not wearing masks, come over to her, and they, you know, they're coming to, like, detain her, basically. Now, and the video is actually quite long. It's almost 4 minutes. And apparently, because they tased her while she's sitting on metal bleachers, which is super smart, because it zapped one of her kids that was nearby through that. I know. Like, yay. I'm going to tell you, stuff like this, people support the police, and they support good policing, and they support our police officers. This is how you stress that alliance. Right here. They said that she was totally socially distanced. All these witnesses were like, she's socially and by the way, why didn't anyone step up and intervene? No one said anything. No one said a single thing. I mean, there were some people who were sitting where they were, and they were speaking up about it, like, you're tasing her because she doesn't have a mask on. No one else was by her. So they decided to charge her with criminal trespass, which I also don't get. And I just was really shocked that that this happened the way that it did. Now, police said that she was not arrested because she refused to wear a mask, but she was arrested because she didn't want to leave. They told her that she had to leave, and then they said that they arrested her because she didn't leave. Now, wait a minute. Are we going by science? Because this isn't scientifically based. This is just, this is bad policing. It is a bad rule and bad policing. She literally was, you're outside in the warm sunshine, all the things that the CDC says kills this, the virus. Alone. Yeah, and she's alone. She doesn't need to wear a mask if she's alone and away from everyone else. So it doesn't matter. Everything that the CDC said apparently has no bearing on what happened here. They just decided, nope, we're going to go in anyway. We're going to just immediately have a heavy response. So I don't know. This is ridiculous. I think this is ridiculous. And they said, Mike DeWine had said, people who are judging the school and officer, they were trying to follow the guidelines of the Ohio High School Athletic Association and the sole purpose of wanting the kids to play. Okay, so they are outside in the sunshine and she was socially distanced. Right. What was violated? What was violated? For real.
Her rights. Hmm.
Yeah, her rights, beyond her rights. This is so stupid. Like I said, the government that can regulate what you put in your face hole, they're going to regulate what you put on your face. Yep. Just saying. And if they can do that, they can regulate what you inject into yourself, like a vaccine or something like that. I'm not anti-vax, but for those who might be, I'm just saying, you got to think about all this stuff. We have more to come, and a lot more to discuss, actually, because the president's going to be announcing Supreme Court selection, his nominee tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday on the Three Martini Lunch as we dissect the day's good, bad, and crazy news. Each day, you'll get our original and fun insights into everything from presidential politics to the war on punctuation to Jim's hammering the media's pathetic efforts to turn Andrew Cuomo into a hero.
And he's got everything. He's got the personality. He's got the brother. He's got the charm. He's got the jokes. Greg, he's got everything except the actual success.
Subscribe to the Three Martini Lunch at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I love this. This granny ain't going to be messed with. This is Spanaway, Washington, y'all. I love the headline. I reached over and got my shotgun and I cocked it. Grandma fends off would-be burglar. 78-year-old granny held off an intruder at gunpoint after the man broke into her home, according to Pierce County Sheriff's Office. The granny, whose name is Sandy, she said she knew something was wrong when her super sweet dog, Boo Boo, started barking Sunday night. She says, I opened my door and standing 2 feet in front of me was a man. We looked at each other for a few seconds and he turned and started to leave and I said, oh no, you don't. You stay right there, she said. She said her neighborhood has been plagued by crime. Her car's been prowled. She said there's been all kinds of crime and she's been actually kind of worried, so she's had her shotgun. She said it was her first time that she's used it. She said that she was scared to death while she waited for police to arrive, but the suspect didn't show signs of impairment, did not seem distressed, and he was released after the homeowner chose to not press charges. But she wanted to teach a lesson, stop trespassing and snooping around people's houses. Good for her. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
I think it's a sad thing, and I give my regards to the family of Brianna. I also think it's so sad what's happening with everything about that case, including law enforcement. So many people suffering, so many people needlessly suffering, but with respect to Brianna, we give our regards to the family.
That was the president when he was asked about all of this stuff, with the case, and goodness, it's just nasty. It's just nasty in everybody's attitude and the world right now, honestly. Whether it's, you know, I was looking at some of the footage of the riots and that were taking place. There was there were businesses that had windows busted in again. There was a story that was discussing and this was in Hollywood because people were rioting there, and they had protesters and drivers. People were running into the street, and then they would try to stop the truck, like these vehicles, and hit the vehicles and try to intimidate the drivers. And the drivers are scared to death. I mean, Google Reginald Denny. And that's not even the last one. There have been, in recent weeks, with all the stuff happening, there have been similar things that have taken place where people are, their vehicles are beaten. And there was one where a guy was, I think it was actually in maybe Santa Monica or somewhere, where they were taking somebody out of their car. There was another one where rioters descended on a car that had a dog in the back, and they were busting the windows out with the dog in the back. The dog is terrified, cowering in the back seat. Yeah, they had hammers and just shattering glass all over the dog and everything else. And there was a truck, I'm pulling this story up, this was in Hollywood, and there were rioters. I'm not going to say the word protester, because that's not right. Once you're violent, once you're running into the street and like it trying to go at drivers, that's not a peaceful protest. You're rioting. Actually, you're just trying to intimidate and bully people. That's not advocacy. And the drivers are terrified. They're trying to figure out what to do, because you have people who descend in the street and they purposefully stand in front of the car while other people beat the car and try to get the driver out of the car. And then when the driver gets scared enough that they try to drive away, yeah, the people standing in front of the car get run over, and then they have the audacity to act like they're the ones that were targeted. You play stupid games, you're going to win dumbass prizes. That's how that works. You stand in the middle of the road and you try to assault drivers in their vehicle and intimidate them and Reginald Denny them. Yeah, you will get run over. And if you're in a vehicle and you come into a situation like that, you lock your doors and you don't ever get out of your car. It is a violent attack. Driving away is self-defense. I mean, this is good heavens. And then it does not help when the Daily Beast has stories like this. This is just shameful reporting. I cannot believe this. Listen to this story. Listen to this. Did you see this, Kane? Here, I'm going to put... This is something else. It's Daily Beast. The headline says, drivers keep running over protesters and getting away with it. Here's the subhead. A right-wing tactic that made its modern debut in Charlottesville in 2017 has been a staple of recent protests over police brutality. And stats show people rarely get charged. A modern debut? How long do you think cars have been out, Kelly Weil? Who in the ever-loving hell is this chick? The Charlottesville thing is something entirely unrelated to all of this stuff that we have seen. Absolutely. In the streets. I mean, nice, desperate activist attempt there. But no, not even the same. There have been so many videos, and a lot of them, Julio Rosas, we had him on the show yesterday. He's gotten a lot of video in a number of these different cities, whether it's Minneapolis or Portland or Seattle. I think it was his video that showed, what was it? There was an elderly couple, and it was at night, and they were driving, and they were on a bridge, and rioters got into the street to block it, and you can see this old man, peering through the windshield, trying to figure out, how am I going to get around these people? And they run up to the car. This was on video, and I think Julio had this, and was they were beating the car's windows and everything else, and they finally were able to get around, and one protester ran up in front of the car and acted like they were going to throw themselves on the car, all of this stuff. And everyone got mad. And it's like, well, first off, he paid for the road with his taxes, so he can drive on that road any damn time he wants to, any damn where he wants to go. Stop playing in the street. I mean, there have been so many of these instances. And they said that of this, they wonder, well, why aren't these people, why aren't the people who are attacking the cars attacked? Why is that? They only start talking about it after the mob descends on the vehicle and no one can go anywhere. Wasn't there one vehicle? There was one vehicle where the person inside was a supporter.
Right.
And they got mad and rolled down their window and started screaming at the rioters.
More than once.
Yeah, and they were like, I was out here with you the night before. I've got to get to work. Or home from work. Crazy.
Don't care.
That is not advocacy. All of these, they're not people who are just driving down people. They're literally trying to get home from work or to work. This was the rioter, what was this, North Carolina or South Carolina, where we played the video of the fire chief and the police that held this press conference because their rioters set fire to an apartment complex. Or no, it was a four-family complex, and there were children trapped inside. And the rioters would not allow the first responders to get to the building so that they could get the kids saved. Thankfully, they drove through them so that they could get there and save the kids. This is stuff we're talking about. I tell you what, it is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And that headline does not help anything. Not at all. Not at all. So I have to pull this up. This is the Black Lives Matter co-founder, an admitted Marxist. They all say they have Marxist training. Alicia Garza said that Daniel Cameron, the Kentucky Attorney General, who, because I know it's important to Marxists, is happens to be black. They said that he gave, she said that he gave, and I'm directly quoting her, quote, a Bull Connor speech in 2020.
What the hell?
If you're using that kind of comparison, I have to question whether or not you know who Bull Connor is and what he did.
Same as Hitler with these people.
Right. Now, you don't have to agree with how the warrant was served, because I definitely have questions. Does that make the black AG Bull Connor? Mm-mm. That's like the secondary Godwin's law. Have you noticed that? If it's not Hitler that people are invoking, it's everybody that they don't like, everybody that Marxists don't like, there is like Bull Connor.
Jim Crow.
Yeah. And they said, oh, he's a Republican through and through. What does that even mean? That has nothing to, ideology should have nothing to do with the facts at hand. Nothing. But like I was telling you, it's not about that. They are going at him because he is a threat to future battles. He is going to be most likely the front runner when Mitch McConnell retires to take that Senate seat. Democrats are trying to close in on it now. A black Republican, especially one who is very good, apparently, at retail politics like Daniel Cameron is a threat to Marxists. Which, by the way, I want to go back to this just irony here real quick. You have Alicia Garza, who, one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, and has had, that has been trained in Marxism. Patrice Cullors and Alicia Garza, they have said, they're like, yeah, you know, we are trained organizers. And when they're talking about their Marxist ideology, like literally the phrase is, I'm going to quote it, we are trained Marxists, end quote. It's on video. We've played the audio. Tell me how you think, if you want to have a discussion of, I guess, betrayal of ethnicity, because that seems to be the suggestion, right? That Garza is leveling here towards Daniel Cameron, simply because Cameron is a black Republican. How do you reconcile that? How does Garza reconcile the issue of race and bigotry by practicing and promoting and being trained in an ideology named after a rabidly, notoriously rabid racist? Well-known racist, dead white guy, Karl Marx. Karl Marx loathed minorities. You know how people always like to like brush past Shay's racism? Okay, they do the same thing with Marx. This is not like hidden knowledge. Well, it's hidden in things called books and documents and articles and his own actual words that are on the internet. That's what I never understood about like this fascination with Marx, because he was a notorious racist. Most of the time, these people who are like, yeah, I'm a total Marxist, they've read like one thing. They've only ever read his little commie pamphlet, the Communist Manifesto. They never read anything else. They probably never read Das Kapital. They probably never read any of that. Because not only was he a notorious racist, but he was a notorious anti-Semite. I mean, massively so. And so is Ingalls. This is when he wrote the Communist Manifesto with Ingalls, because he is, I don't know why Marx is such a hero to Black Lives Matter and even black activists. I seriously have no idea. You get mad at Daniel Cameron, but you're going to follow Marx and Ingalls. You don't know what Ingalls said? Would you like me to read you? By the way, this is what Marx wrote in a conversation with Ingalls. Quote, without violence, nothing is ever accomplished in history. This is Marx's, these are his words, direct quote. Is it a misfortune that magnificent California was seized from the lazy Mexicans who did not know what to do with it, end quote? Wow. That's just one example. Some of them, it's going to be a little rougher.
But yay, Marx.
I mean, I can't even say some of the stuff that they wrote each other on air. But hey, Marx, right? You're trained Marxists.
Super versed on sort of ideological theories.
So,
mm-hmm. I mean, this is, it's, I, Marx always stopped one beat before calling for all-out genocide. He wrote, quote, the classes and the races too weak to master the new conditions of life must give way. I literally can't even read some of this. You want to? I can't. Because I can't say the words on air. Like Che Guevara, you know, when he wrote his, his memoir? He said the slur, I can't even say that, is indolent and lazy and spends his money on frivolities. Whereas the European is forward-looking, organized, and intelligent, end quote. So let's just, again, I want to touch on the quick irony of people who worship a dead, white, notorious racist and anti-Semite who have the audacity to say that Daniel Cameron is like Bull Connor. No, the guy you worship, whose ideology that you proudly say that you train in, he actually is. So what does that make you? Beyond a hypocrite. So anytime you hear anybody try to preach the praises of Marx, ask them how long they've been racists. Because that's not just invective. It's not straw man. It's true. They're either uneducated and they haven't read anything Marx has written, or they have and they support it. Those are the only options. Make them choose. We have a lot more on the way. We're going to finish out. I'm going to try to get some hate in, but we had to get that set. We had to get that in too.
The Dana Show.
So tomorrow we have the Supreme Court selection by the president. So if you haven't signed up for the newsletter, make sure you do so. And apparently he's also going to be unveiling here soon. I don't know if this is going to be something he's speaking to tonight or not, but the Platinum Plan for Black Economic Empowerment that designates Antifa, the KKK, they need to put Black Lives Matter, the organization, in there too, as terrorist organizations, and calls for, I think, not just lynching, but I think you should add targeting people driving in their cars. I don't believe in the phrase hate crime because all crime stems from hate, but I don't know. So I don't know about all. I mean, a crime's
a
crime.
It's a feeling too. So.
But I'm totally fine with designating all those as terrorist organizations. I have zero problem with that. Just add BLM on there and we're totally good. We're short on time. This show went by so fast. But make sure you sign up for the newsletter. Lots of stuff coming out. Today in Stupidity Kane.
All right. Joe Biden is out there chatting it up, and we recorded some of it.
The president was in Ohio. I guess a couple days ago at a rally. I don't want to misquote him. And he said at the rally, and I wrote this down.
Okay, we wrote it down so
he
well
said
that...
What
did he say?
What did he say, Joe?
Oh,
Joe.
He said that...
Right. Joe. Okay, right. He can't do it. Prayers for Ron Paul, who may or may not have had a stroke on live video. So we'll keep that in mind. God bless, guys.